The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 12, verses 2 to 6, found on page 1078 in your pew Bible, if you'd like to follow. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself, is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day, you will say, give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. The second reading is found on page 1830. It's Philippians 4, verses 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Rebecca. So, today's sermon title is... Next slide. You have something up there? Joy in hope, joy in love, and joy in peace. As we've walked this journey of Advent the last couple weeks, I told you one of the things I was going to try to do was work all of these aspects of Advent, hope, love, joy, peace, into the sermons from the passages that are given by the lectionary, which I'm telling you isn't always easy. That's why I had to give two passages today, to get all of these things in there. Next slide, please. If you're wondering why the background's pink, it's because we lit the pink candle today. I'm trying to be color coordinated. I even got the shirt with the pink in it. See, we're color coordinated. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. When I listen to these words from Paul, it's almost like it's a shot across the bow. He's telling us, pay attention. I'm telling you twice to rejoice. Not just rejoice in the Lord always, but I say again, and you can say it with me, rejoice. But Paul, what if we don't feel like being joyful? I mean, this time of year is the most happiest time of the year for a lot of people, right? But for just as many people, this is one of the saddest and most lonely times of the year. And some of us may fall into that second category because of whatever the circumstance, loss of job, loss of family, being isolated from people that you love. There's all kinds of varied reasons why we may not think of the holidays as the most joyous time of the year. But if you look at Paul's message here, he's not saying rejoice in your happiness, or don't rejoice in your sadness, or don't rejoice in your stuff, or even rejoice in your family or your job, or don't rejoice in the circumstances around you. He's saying rejoice in what? The Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Now, we have to figure out what Paul means by that. So if you want to go to that particular passage in Philippians, Paul says, rejoice, rejoice. But he says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Now, this gentleness that he talks about here, it's the same kind of gentleness that Jesus had when he called the children forward. It's also related to the magnanimous gestures of rulers and leaders, people that are giving more to people than what what most people would. They're being magnanimous. They're giving. They're generous. It's people saying, look, I'm going to take what I need, but above my needs, I'm going to give it away. He's saying, let your gentleness be evident. And then he goes on, and I love this part. Why? Because the Lord is near. Now, a lot of people think that this was Paul saying that, you know, God's coming again quickly. He's going to be there. Jesus is on his way. But I like to think of it as a proximity thing. God is always near. God's always with us. As Isaiah said, God's our strength. And he says the reason that we can rejoice is because with God being near, we don't have to be anxious about anything. Now, if you've been paying attention to the last 10 weeks of the lectionary, this idea of not being anxious, of not fearing, has been a continual theme in the lectionary. And the lectionary does this on purpose because it wants to make a point to the people of God. It wants us to know that we don't have to fear because we can trust that God will be providing for us because he's near. And then Paul even gives us the secret on how to ensure that provision and to ensure that comfort inside that we're not going to be needing for things. He says, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. So what Paul is telling us is that because we pray to God for our needs, not for the Porsche, not for the big flat screen TV, but we pray to God for our needs, God is going to meet them. Now, we have a very skewed idea of what we need in the United States. The thing that's most impressive to me about this passage of Paul, where he says, rejoice always, is, do you know where Paul was when he wrote this? Prison. His best day probably was like a 3 on our scale. Right? He didn't have indoor plumbing. He didn't have hot water. He didn't have, you know, Magnum PI. He didn't have any of that stuff. He was in chains in Rome awaiting the decision on whether or not he was going to be killed. And yet he's saying, rejoice. Rejoice always in all circumstances. And he doesn't just say this, he does it. Earlier in the same letter to the Philippians, he talks about how his being a prisoner is advancing the gospel, because people can come and they can hear the gospel. And then he goes on to say that some people are preaching the gospel out of selfishness and ambition. And others are preaching the gospel out of good intention and goodwill. And he says, this is what gets me, he says that it doesn't matter which way they're preaching it, because the important thing is that in every way, whether false motives or true, Christ is being preached. And then what does he say? And for this, I rejoice. So Paul, in his captivity, is rejoicing, and he tells us to rejoice. Next slide. How many of you think that's the picture of joy? Right? Phyllis had the little signs, you know, the happy sign face, the sad face for the kids. I love the guy in the middle. Next slide. Happy versus joy. I looked a long time on the internet for something that captured what I was trying to say in this sermon, and I couldn't really find them. There's a lot of things out there about joy and happiness and the difference between the two, but I kind of prayed on it, and this is what I came up with. Happy and joy. One is a condition of external chaos. If you remember the last few weeks, there's been a lot of chaos talk in the Bible. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, when we talked about the Revelation passage, it said God calmed the seas. And remember, the seas in Israel are chaos. So one is a condition of external chaos, and the other of internal peace. Next slide. I don't know if you can see this because of the color scheme. But the red line is the happy versus sad. Okay? This is the conditions of what's going on. I'm happy because I got an ice cream cone, or I'm playing with my friends. I'm sad because I fell off my bike. Thank you for the illustrations, Phyllis. But if you look at the blue line, you'll see that it's not straight. It's not a straight line. It kind of follows the same pattern as the up and down arrow or lines of the happy, sad, but it's just much more controlled. And this is because of the peace that we have, knowing that God is caring for us. We're still going to feel happy. We're still going to feel sad. But through it all, we have the comfort and the knowledge that God is maintaining our existence and our needs. He's covering our needs. And if we look at the Isaiah passage, he says you're going to drink from the well of salvation. Does anybody remember what salvation means? We talked about this a while back. Salvation is literally freedom from bondage, rescue. God is rescuing us from our condition of this and helping us kind of just have this internal peace and joy, knowing that he's got our back. And that's what this is all about. These last 10 weeks of don't fear. These last 10 weeks of be not afraid, of trusting God, of not being anxious. All of this boils down to one simple thing. And the word is contentment. This is the secret. Contentment is the secret ingredient to all of this joy and the peace that surpasses understanding. Every major religion has something in their doctrine about contentment. The Buddhists, I love this one. If you keep striving for things, the lack of attaining those things is what causes discontent. So if you're satisfied with what you've got, you're content, you're happy, you're joyful. Next slide. In Judaism, it says, he who seeks more than he needs hinders himself from enjoying what he has. How wise is that? Right? I mean, obviously each of us have different needs. I happen to be a diabetic. I need my insulin or I'm going to die. Right? Some of us have medical needs that we need taken care of that are different from other people. But the bottom line is our basic needs are food, sleep, water. You know, think about Isaiah when he wrote this passage. He didn't have a McDonald's to go to. Right? He lived through famine. He lived through the idea that the Assyrians and the Babylonians were going to descend any time, any day, and take over Jerusalem. You know, so his needs were different than our needs. But what's interesting about our needs is that sometimes when I see something that somebody else has, all of a sudden I think I need it. I didn't even know I needed it until I saw that Vern had it. Now I need it. Have you ever been in that situation? You know, I gotta have that. Gotta have that new device from Amazon that, you know, serves all my purposes. Our needs have been skewed over time. We think we need things that we really don't. This gets us back to that word gentleness that Paul used. Are you the person, when you look in the mirror, you can say, you know what? I gave out of my non-needs to somebody else. Now, I got to tell you, folks, I never come up here with the thought of being controversial. I really don't. But it seems like the more I talk about Jesus and what he did, and the more I talk about his disciples and how they lived, the more controversial it sounds because it's so different than the way we live today. Today we have this idea that we need or we want or we have to have when we really don't, because there's somebody out there that doesn't have anything that we could give to out of our abundance, and they would have something. In the office this week, we got a letter from a lady that was referred to us by the Barrier Rescue Mission, I think. And she lives in Crockett. Her husband was a state of California worker. He's now on disability. They have 8 kids living in their house, 6 of their own and 2 grandchildren. And they're not going to have a Christmas because they don't have money because he's now on disability. And she reached out asking for help from churches that she was referred to. And we were one of the many churches that she reached out to. And I told her, sure, we'll be able to help some way, somehow. Even if it's just with some gift certificates, right? We'll find something to do. But she gave us, I said, we're not a big electronics buying group because most of us can't even use computers. But we're willing to help because she said she wanted, you know, they said the kids, of course, wanted tablets and laptops and things. And I said, well, what are their shirt sizes? We can get them some clothes and some food, right? So she sent me the shirt sizes. So if anybody's willing to help Preeta and her family out, you know, contact me in the office. We're just thinking about getting like a shirt or some, you know, a gift card or something. Just contact me. We'll do what we can. But bottom line is they have need and we have excess. Many of us, if we really look in the mirror and we say, do I have everything I need? Most of us in this room would raise our hands and say, yeah, I got all I need. So Paul is telling us to make our gentleness be evident. And I think especially in this season, it's important. We have people coming to our campus to eat breakfast with us because we have volunteers that are coming in at, I don't know, Jim, what time did you get here this morning?
Quarter to 7.
I was stretching. To serve breakfast to people. Because our culture on this campus, the culture in this family, the mantra with which we live by is love God, love people, serve. And if that doesn't fit into the gentleness that Paul's talking about here, I don't know what does. I don't think I have any more slides. Or maybe I do. What's next? One more. Contentment in Islam. Truly, it is the remembrance of Allah, of God, that hearts can find contentment. So this isn't too dissimilar to what Isaiah said. You know, our salvation is in God. I think the last one is Christianity. Contentment in Christianity. Be content with what you have. God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So just as Isaiah said, and the reason I picked both these passages, because Isaiah talks about drinking from the well of salvation, we'll have joy. So I said we were going to tie hope and joy together. So the hoped for salvation brings joy, according to Isaiah. I said we'd tie love to joy, and the gentleness Paul talks about ties lovingness to joy. And we said we'd talk about peace and how joy and peace go together. Well, Paul says that if we rejoice and we pray, we will have the peace that surpasses understanding. All four of these elements of Advent come together in today's sermon to say, be joyful. Rejoice in the Lord always. And when you're in one of those valleys, because we all go there, when we're in one of those valleys, look in the mirror and ask yourself, is God providing my needs? If the answer is yes, that's joy. That's joy, because you know that you're going to come back up, and one day you're going to play with friends, and you're going to have one of those happy moments again. Right? So stick through those happy and sad moments and understand that the joy overrides your heart because God is in control. Amen?